Welcome to the Avenging Hour. I'm Jason.
I'm John.
Hey, now that we did our vocal exercises.
those are the sort of things you don't leave in so people don't know that we sound like a couple of schmucks.
Totally. Well, I'm pretty sure they know that. Yeah. This is strange because we're not picking up where we left off.
Well, kind of we are. I mean, but there is a previously. You may not have written one up, but there's a previously on. Or did you write one up?
Well, I did a previously on, but it doesn't really tie into what we're talking about today.
You just did the last two issues, not what leads into these issues.
Right, because what leads into these issues is from like three or four issues ago.
Yeah.
I mean, I can do the previously on the Avenging Hour. Star Fox met his cousins and they all played a game of rock, paper, scissors, Unimind to decide where they wanted to live. Some half-inhuman bad guy named Maelstrom tried to crash the party, but the Avengers stepped in and made sure he defeated himself. And now episode 113. That doesn't really tell you what we're doing here.
No.
Because we're going to cover the West Coast Avengers miniseries. It's four issues. Basically, what led into this was when the Vision took over the team, and everyone came back from whatever mission they were on, and there were like 14 of them. And they went, well, it'd be nice if we could get you all to stay, but we can't because we have rules. And Vision went, pfft, rules. We'll just make a second team.
That was the mission they were on with Secret Wars.
Oh, that's right. Because they had like the extra team, and then the original team came back, so they had too many people.
They had the real Avengers who went to Secret Wars.
Right.
And then they had the second string losers, and Vision won them all together.
Yes. So he sent Hawkeye and Mockingbird off to L.A. to find a place to set up camp, and that's where we...
With real estate agent Bill Foster.
We don't even see him, do we?
No, we don't.
Thanks, buddy. I bet you they didn't even pay him for the help.
No, I'm sure they didn't.
They're like, hey, do you know any good place? All right, thanks.
They probably just kept, like, Vision was like, well, you know, if you can help us out, we'll certainly think of you for membership. And then snickered behind his back when Bill Foster went away. We're never going to invite that guy to the team.
Now that you've given us the address of this place, you have to forget it. I don't ever want to see you showing up at the door.
They used the Men in Black thing on him.
Right.
We erased his memory. It's the neuralizer or whatever.
Should we just get going? Because we sound like idiots.
All right, more so than normal. We're going to get started with West Coast Avengers number one. Wow, it's been a long time since we've done a number one. It's been 2 years since we had a number one. This is from September of 1984. It is by Roger Stern and Bob Hall. We're not going to talk about Bob Hall because we have before. Bob Hall penciled half a dozen issues of this book, if that, back around issues 211, 212, back when Yellow Jacket was running around shooting elf queens in the back. That was all Bob Hall stuff. He didn't stick around for very long.
Bob Hall created the downfall of Yellow Jacket.
It's all Bob Hall's fault. And this issue is called Avengers Assemble. Avengers Assemble! Hawkeye yells to an empty Avengers compound, making him one of the saddest people I've ever seen. Well, the compound isn't actually completely empty. His wife Mockingbird is here as well, and she finds him just as pathetic as I do. We're told that the new compound is huge, with multiple buildings, which seems odd, because do they need that much room? Does the Maria Stark Foundation know how much money Hawkeye is wasting? As the two lovebirds head inside the main building, we find out that Mockingbird is now an official Avenger, and that Roger Stern might not always be the best with expository dialogue, and perhaps Jason was a teensy bit right on that count. Hawkeye rings up the East Coast branch of the team, talking first to Jarvis so that we know this is indeed an Avenger spinoff, and then chatting with the Vision. The Vision, still oddly creepy, explains that he wanted to come to the West Coast to give the team a win one for the Gipper speech, but can't make it. However, Vision has started reaching out to potential members. Speaking of potential members, we're off to San Francisco, where Tigra has been helping the former Spider-Woman, the now depowered Jessica Drew, set up a detective business. It seems like Drew is just about to offer to make Tigra a partner in the business when the Vision calls and offers to pay Tigra to be an Avenger again. With that, Tigra is off to Los Angeles to check out this whole West Coast Avengers business. Jessica Drew seems concerned about her friend, and once Tigra leaves, she makes a mysterious phone call to someone in L.A. No time for more of that, though, as we now go to the Mojave Desert, where a car chase is already in progress. A red sports car is being chased by two dune buggies, but the driver of the car makes short work of the buggies, blowing one up with its driver in it with a hand grenade. As the car burns, we pan out to see that we are watching a movie being filmed, and the driver of the burning vehicle is none other than Wonder Man, enjoying a career as a stuntman. However, he gets buzzed by the Vision as well and is soon on his way to meet the others. Next stop is Stanford University, where James Rhodes, our current Iron Man, also gets a call from the Vision. Soon, Iron Man is at the compound where he meets Tigra, being all friendly and flirty since she thinks he's Tony Stark. Hawkeye soon greets them and gives them a tour around the facilities, ending in the main building where they're joined by Mockingbird. Hawkeye then gives the group the quick history of the team and asks them to join up. However, Tigra and Iron Man aren't sure they want to join. They're interrupted by an intruder alarm before the discussion can go further. The group calls up information on the main monitors, where they see a shadowy figure easily evading the automated defenses. Hawkeye splits the group up, sending everyone in a different direction so they can surround the intruder. Mockingbird is the first to encounter something, as suddenly the area around her starts to go dark. She futilely attempts to attack the intruder, revealed to be the Shroud, but before he can knock Mockingbird out, Hawkeye shows up and drives him away. Shroud then runs into Iron Man, and realizing that he's fighting Avengers, Shroud tries to make peace. Iron Man's having none of it, though, so the Shroud runs out of the building, intent on escaping the compound. Unfortunately for him, he runs into Wonder Man, who takes the Shroud down long enough for the rest of the team to arrive. Tigra, knowing the Shroud, stops the fight before it can progress. The Shroud explains that Jessica Drew, worried about Tigra, asked him to check on her and make sure she was all right. The Avengers are impressed with him, and Hawkeye offers a position on the team, but the Shroud declines, saying he's been working hard to build a reputation as an outlaw, to strike at crime from within, and he wants to play that hand for now. He offers his help if it's needed, though, and then fades away, leaving the team still struggling to fill its empty team slots. Roll call this issue is tricky, but we're going to say that it's Hawkeye, Mockingbird, Tigra, Wonder Man, and Iron Man, even though I think only two of them are actually official Avengers this issue.
Why are you jumping to conclusions?
We have no real villain, but we do get to see Jarvis, Vision, Jessica Drew, and the Shroud.
When we first see Mockingbird, and she's making fun of Hawkeye, she says that she married him because he has a great set of lungs. I don't know what that means.
Yeah, you usually would say that about a woman, correct?
Right.
Meaning that she has large breasts.
Right. Hey, a great set of lungs on that broad.
I don't understand either. it makes no sense at all.
Then what? I was skimming ahead that we see them go down in an elevator. Evidently, this Avengers compound already has like six sub-basements fully outfitted with computers, which is odd. But I like this panel here on the side where we get to see them go down in the elevator. It's kind of a neat little...
I didn't really understand the conversation because Hawkeye's talking to Mockingbird. And Hawkeye says, the fact that we're husband and wife has nothing to do with your status as an Avenger. And Mockingbird thinks that's what you think. And I don't know what they mean by that.
She wouldn't be an Avenger if she wasn't married to Hawkeye because no one would know who the hell she was. I don't know what she's implying there.
Well, yeah, what's she implying? Is she implying that it seems like she has maybe some kind of information that...
Right.
And
she's there as a spy for Vision or something.
Yeah, and it's never followed up on.
We see the Vision on the screen, and is it Hawkeye that cracks a joke, or Mockingbird that cracks a joke? And Vision laughs.
Ha ha, domestic humor.
It's Mockingbird, because she mentions...
Oh, Knott's Berry Farm, that's right.
Yeah, she mentions Knott's Berry Farm. For those that don't know...
Oh, really? Did you do a write-up on Knott's Berry Farm?
Knott's Berry Farmers in Buena Park, California. It started in 1920 as kind of like a farmer's market, but it kind of slowly morphed into an amusement park. By 1968, it was pretty much all amusement park. And it's now a very well-known amusement park in Southern California. And are we just going to start making references to things in Southern California now?
Yes, we have to make sure that everyone
knows. Is that going to be the West Coast Avengers now?
Don't they make a line of jams and jellies? They have some cookies. Steve Martin used to work there.
Come to Knott's Berry Farm. Try our jellies.
That's the Smucker's voice, isn't it?
Oh.
or is that Pepperidge Farm?
It's Pepperidge Farm.
It's all the same stuff.
We make our jellies right here at home at Pepperidge Farms.
I found it interesting that the first invitee to the team is Tigra. The one who had left before because she immediately froze in combat?
Twice, actually, if you remember correctly, because she froze with Ghost Rider and then the Molecule Man.
Yes.
As long as they only fight bank robbers, she should be fine.
I'm not sure why. We see she's talking to Jessica Drew, who's obviously not allowed to be Spider-Woman anymore because it's been taken out of her, right?
Yeah, she lost those powers in an Avengers issue.
So she's now a detective who apparently does not know how to use a chair.
She does sit on the desk.
It's her office. Can't she sit wherever she wants? I like that Wonder Man works as a stuntman. It's a nice little touch because he was trying to be an actor and it wasn't working out for him.
And seriously, Wonder Man as a stuntman is something that, why has no one thought of this before? It's a brilliant idea. Why wouldn't you take someone who's invulnerable and use them as a stuntman?
Right.
Like, duh, Superman, give up this stupid reporter thing. You're making crap money.
Quit trying to save the world.
We're working long hours. Go to Hollywood. Be a stuntman. He's even got they both have the, because like the Thing isn't going to easily be a stuntman because
he can only be the Thing.
Yeah, but Superman and Wonder Man can easily double as actual humans, and they both have that leading man build. So
all Superman has to do is put a pair of glasses on and he's a completely different person.
It's true.
As the issue went on, I'm like, okay, Tiger, she's on the West Coast, because we had kind of known that she was in the San Francisco area during the whole thing with Spider-Woman. And we knew that Wonder Man had gone off to L.A., so these two showing up was not that big of a deal. And then they go for Iron Man. What's Iron Man doing in California?
Well, and we should probably talk about this. I'm glad you brought this up, because I thought we should probably look at Tigra and Iron Man and Wonder Man and what they've been doing since the last time we saw them. Of course, when Tigra left the series after freezing up twice in battle, she basically went to become a supporting character in Spider-Woman's book, as we talked about in the issues of the Avengers, where she came back to help figure out the ghost of Spider-Woman.
Right.
And since then, she hasn't been in anything, but as we find out here, she and Jessica Drew have been working together as private detectives. And Wonder Man hasn't really been in anything either since he left the team to go be an actor. As we talked about, he's been a stuntman.
Right.
But Iron Man requires some real clarification, because the last time we saw Iron Man, Tony Stark was a drunk, and he had given the armor to James Rhodes, who said, "I'm not ready to be an Avenger." Since that time, Tony Stark got drunker and drunker and drunker, and then not drunk.
So Tony, as you do.
Tony Stark is now sober, but while he was a drunk, his company, Stark International, was bought by a corporate raider named Obadiah Stane. Most of you know is Jeff Bridges from the first Iron Man movie. And so when Tony Stark finally comes out of the alcoholic coma he was in, he has nothing. He has very little money. He lost pretty much all of his money. He lost his company. And so he goes to the West Coast with a group of friends that stood by him through the alcohol thing. A brother and sister, Clytemnestra and somebody else, Irwin. Clytemnestra and... You don't have any idea, do you?
I don't.
Well, I'm not going to look them up because I don't care that much.
It's really not that important.
Point being, he goes out there with them, and James Rhodes goes with them as well. And they start this business. But Tony Stark says, "I don't really want to be Iron Man again. I'm just going to work. I want to work on this business. I want to build a new business," which I think they call... I don't think this starts out as a Stark business. Spoiler alert, does not go well. Most of his friends end up dying, and he ends up going back to New York before too long. At this point in time, he's like, "I want to concentrate on the business, so I'm going to let you be Iron Man, James Rhodes." And James Rhodes says, "Damn straight, I like being Iron Man. You're not taking it away from me." And that's pretty much where we're at.
So there's no reason for Rhodey to go back to New York, because the only reason he was there was because of Stark.
Yes.
And now, Stark lost all of his stuff, so...
Now he's going to hang out, and he wants to hang out with Tony Stark and Tony Stark's new friends on the West Coast, because unlike Tony Stark, he can't fix the armor. So if the armor gets damaged or they want to upgrade it, he needs Tony Stark. And he'll be on the West Coast Avengers. I actually say he won't be here for long, but I mean, he'll be a West Coast Avengers fixture for like another 5 years through like issue 60 or 70 of the title.
I was kind of confused by Vision's interference here. He tells Hawkeye that he's taken steps to contact several potential members. And then we see, obviously, who he's contacted, because they all get these phone calls.
Well, I also understand the Vision because, so with Tigra, he calls Tigra up and offers her $1,000 if she will go to the West Coast Avengers compound and take a meeting.
Right, like a finder's fee kind of.
Yeah, which is, I mean, we have to assume that the West Coast Avengers will get the same stipend deal that the East Coast Avengers have. So they're all going to be paid $1,000 a week anyway. But he's going to give her an extra $1,000 on top of that, which she apparently really needs because she jumps at the chance. She doesn't want to do this. And he's like, "I'll give you $1,000. And she's like, "Okay." So I don't know why Tigra, is she in deep in debt? Is she, I mean, the woman obviously doesn't know how to handle money, since the last time she cashed $1,000 check, she spent like $200 on clothes and gave the other $800 to some crazy guy with drumsticks in the subway.
Right.
So maybe we shouldn't be offering this woman money because she doesn't know what to do with it. I don't understand what the Vision is doing at all. Like you say...
Well, my thing was, he says he's going to contact some potential members, and the only people that he contacts are people that were former Avengers members. Like, "Thanks for your help. I could have done that."
The only thing I can think of is that we know the Vision has said before how he wants... He needs, for his mysterious plans to work, he needs certain Avengers. He needs an Avengers team, at least on the East Coast, that people can trust. So the only thing I can think of is the Vision is getting involved because he wants certain people on the team. And that makes sense if you're talking about Iron Man, and maybe if you stretch a point, Wonder Man, but I don't know where Tigra fits in.
Exactly.
I can't imagine she's integral to his... People aren't going to be like, "I don't know if I trust Captain America, Sentinel of Liberty, or Iron Man, who's been a hero for the past 20 years. But that crazy cat lady who keeps running away from fights..."
Who I've seen like three times.
Yeah, her? I'm down.
I just find it interesting. We've talked amongst ourselves here about the cover of the first issue. And it shows much more interesting potential cast members. Not that this isn't an interesting team. I think this team's a lot of fun, actually. But I would have liked to have seen at least a phone call to a couple of these people, or some kind of interaction, or like that time where Moondragon had compelled all those people to show up at the mansion. Like, just have them all there, and then weed out the people that you know are going to be the obvious picks. I'm guessing they did it just to save time and space. Although this first issue, there's not really any threat. You could have taken your time.
Well, I have so many thoughts about this miniseries that we'll talk about again and again. I don't understand. This miniseries, I think, is paced so weirdly. It's arranged so weirdly. And for a first issue, well, we'll talk about it when we talk about it, what we think about the issue. Do you have any other notes?
Next issue, strange too. Yeah, I do. I liked when when Tigra first got out of her car and she's there talking to Iron Man, and Iron Man makes some probably, he doesn't make inappropriate comments, but he seems to have some inappropriate thoughts about the cat lady that's barely wearing any clothing. And I just thought it's probably a good idea that he's wearing metal underwear.
Maybe painful, but a good idea.
One of the things that is supposed to stop the Shroud from breaking into the compound is something called the Stunulator, which I thought was hilarious. I knew Shroud was in this issue, and it didn't even cross my mind that was who Jessica really? Drew was calling. I was like, oh, I wonder who she's calling. Who's going to show up at the... And then Shroud showed up, and I still didn't put two and two together.
Do you think she was calling Daddy the Long Legs?
And then at the end of that fight, I was like, oh, Shroud actually would have been a good team member.
Yeah, they will flirt with having the Shroud join the team. And again, we'll talk about this when we talk about that cover and who we think would have been a good team member. But I agree with you.
And if the East Coast team is allowed to have six members, why isn't the West Coast?
Well, we'll be seeing that as we get into the main series, because as we'll find out in this series, we basically have five team members.
Yeah.
The first 12 issues of the Unlimited of the next series are all about them trying to find a sixth member.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that at all.
I do want to point out that we do find out here that the West Coast team uses the same bylaws as the East Coast team, and they're considered equals, which means even though the Vision seems to be acting like he's chairman of both teams, he's over Hawkeye. According to the rules, technically the West Coast chairman has just as much authority as the East Coast chairman.
So they're both going to be on Reagan's cabinet.
That's a really good question. How would that work?
I mean, Vision had to know this was coming, right?
Yeah.
It was all in part of his master plan.
That's actually a really good point. I'm sure Vision has it covered.
That's probably why it never comes up again about that cabinet
yeah.
position. And then my last note was just the fact that this whole issue could have been avoided with just a little bit of communication.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, we used to do this early on in the issues where the team, someone would show up, you know, crash through a wall or just walk into the mansion and there would be a big fight and they're like, wait, I'm here to deliver a pizza. Like,
though I will say this, to be fair to this issue, none of these five people have met the Shroud except for Tigra. So nobody knows who he is, and he does sneak into their headquarters.
Just a general sense of communication. Like, Shroud could have said why he was there.
Well, he tries to...
After he gets attacked by, like, finally someone says something about the Avengers, and he's like, what?
Yeah, when he's like, wait a minute, you're... Because, to be fair, in the other direction, Shroud doesn't know who Mockingbird is. Now, you would have thought he would have known who Hawkeye was.
Well, he's supposed to be detective-y. Why is he breaking into the place? Why isn't he just, you know, staking out in his car?
Is he Shroud driving in a car? Don't give me. It's like Pigpen's car, but it's just an entire black bubble just going down the road. Just black clouds.
He's in like an old rusted out Chevy Nova sitting there with his cape on and his mask.
No, but you're right when you say that this issue could have been avoided. There could have been more communication. So you got nothing else?
No.
Let's talk about
the bullpen bulletins. Oh wait, we did that already.
And no letters.
No letters.
MVP.
Oh, we're going to go right to that? All right.
Well, there's something else.
I'm going to go with Vision because he's the one who picked the team, apparently.
I gave it to Tigress, and she does actually stop the fight. She's the one that was like, whoa, this fight is stupid. Stop it.
That's funny because my useless character is Tigra, and I said it's probably going to be my answer for every issue.
I actually picked Mockingbird, who I feel like is completely pointless in this issue. Everyone else does at least something, but she does nothing.
Spoiler alert, I think I actually picked Mockingbird for every other issue.
Best quote, taken out of context?
I want this guy.
That's what I picked. Yeah. Avengers level threat. Is the Shroud an Avengers level threat?
No, there's no threat here.
So what is your final grade for this?
I am probably biased just by the fact that this is a number one and it's something new and fresh. I gave it an A-.
Holy moly, that's a travesty of justice. I gave it a C+. This is not a good debut issue. So, I mean, it looks good. The art's good, as you pointed out. It's interesting. But there's no story here.
There isn't.
And in first issues, in my opinion, for a team book, first issue should be about the team coming together and seeing what they can do. But the team doesn't come together this issue. There's no villain for them to fight. And honestly, if you're going to have a misunderstanding fight where you use a hero as a villain for the debut issue, make it a more powerful hero than the Shroud. So that the team, because Iron Man and Wonder Man can beat the Shroud with one hand tied behind their back. It's a really odd first outing. Plus, at the end of the issue, we don't know who the team is.
Yeah, we still don't have the
because
team.
Because Hawkeye's asked three people to... Well, no, he's actually, I don't even think he's asked Wonder Man in this issue, does he?
No, I think he only asked the other two. And they're both like,
and
none
of them want to do it. So it seems like this is such a waste of time to me.
Yeah, it could have happened quicker. I feel like they spent a lot of time reestablishing each one of these characters when they could have just gone, well, that's Wonder Man. He's a stuntman now. there's Tigra. She's doing nothing because she's Tigra. And Iron Man's on the West Coast, in case you weren't already aware. They just put it down at the bottom. See Iron Man number 143. You know, like,
the amount of time this book takes to bring Iron Man into the team is really quick. It's like three panels. Hey, I'm going to call Iron Man. Hey, Iron Man, I'm calling you. Can you come swing by the compound? We spend pages with Tigra and Wonder Man. For Wonder Man, I'm willing to spend a little bit more time because the fact that he's a stunt person is going to be part of his character for the next quite a few issues.
But Tigra's still Tigra.
But in Tigra, we don't need to set anything up with her and Jessica Drew because it's not happening. She's going to get joined the team. So all the time we spend with her and Jessica Drew is time wasted.
Yeah.
So I really am not a fan of this. I feel like this is, and I'm going to spoiler alert this, I feel it pretty much like this entire miniseries is not Roger Sternberg's best.
I believe my grades go down for each issue, but
now
because the thrill of new wears off for me.
Before we get to the next issue, there's actually an issue that happens between here that has the West Coast Avengers in it that we should talk about a little bit.
Well, you can talk about it because I didn't read it.
It's Iron Man Annual number 7. It's by Bob Harris and Luke McDonnell. So we have none of the regular team on this issue. And basically, it doesn't have a whole lot to do with the West Coast Avengers.
Except that they're in it.
So the West Coast Avengers getting the compound set up. Rhodey's feeling a little weird because they think he's Tony Stark and he hasn't told them that he's not. Blah, 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 Iron Man stuff. Then we see that the former Power Man. Now, we've dealt with the Power Man villain many times in this title. He was around in the early issues of the Avengers. I think first showed up in issue 21 or so. And we see him on and off again for at least a half dozen appearances. That former Power Man lost the right to use the name Power Man in a fight with Luke Cage. And so he's been calling himself the Smuggler. And he has become one loser of a supervillain. And he is on the West Coast and he runs into Dr. Carl Malus, who is a non-powered mad scientist, who offers to give him immense power if this guy, whose name is Eric Joson, will work for him. And he says yes. So Dr. Malus turns him into Goliath, which basically is he turns him into a powerful Dr. Pym. This is a guy that can...
A useful Dr. Pym.
He can grow to great heights, and as he grows, he gets stronger and he's harder to hurt. Of course, as soon as Goliath gets this new power, he says, see ya, Dr. Malus, I'm not working for you, and goes out to wreak havoc.
And then he loses a fight against Hank Pym, and he has to pick another name.
No one loses a fight to Hank Pym. So Iron Man...
Well, Wasp did.
The James Rowe... Horrible, stop it. The James Rhodes Iron Man fights Goliath. Goliath beats him. And James Rhodes gets all upset, so he goes to the West Coast Avengers compound to do some research. And while he's there, he finds Hawkeye and Wonder Man. And so the men of the team leave the women behind to bake cookies, and the three of them go off to fight Goliath. They win.
That's the whole annual?
That's the annual. So it really, I mean, it's really just important because we are seeing the West Coast Avengers as a team, kind of, without the women, who are probably important anyway. And it's also important because Power Man's been a villain in this book before and will be a villain in this book again as Goliath.
Oh, yeah, there he is with Living Laser and Enchantress. So
yeah, it's a lot of flashbacks.
There's Malus with his big Coke bottle glasses.
Thank goodness we didn't have to recap it because it's just so many.
There are a lot of panels on those pages.
Yeah.
Okay, we're just wasting time now.
All right, well, whenever you're ready, you can start.
Well, you're making a lot of noise flipping pages there.
I'm not making that much noise, okay.
West Coast Avengers, issue number 2, October 1984, by Roger Stern and Bob Hall. This one is called Blanking Out. Whoa! Iron Man must have really hated the terms of his new contract because he's trying to murder the rest of the team. But hey, at least Tigra's around to jump on his armored back, and Mockingbird can throw a stick at him, and Hawkeye can try to gum up his boots. Yep, this new team is firing on all useless cylinders. Wait, this was all a training exercise that they lost badly. Apparently, everyone signed up with the team off-panel because Hawkeye calls himself the group leader and tries to reminisce with Iron Man, who has no idea what he's talking about. Mockingbird makes a joke about Hawkeye's ass. Tigra mopes up in a tree about how pathetic she is. And Iron Man leans against the tree and talks himself out of revealing his identity. Meanwhile, in a cookie-cutter suburb that looks nothing like L.A., Wonder Man is moving out, like the Billy Joel song says. When his buddy arrives to help him move, he finds Wonder Man lifting open the side of his house as if it were a garage door. Doesn't Wonder Man know that working too hard can give you a heart attack? He should have known by now. Nah, Wendy doesn't care. He can push the nails back in with his fingers, flexing in his cut-off shorts as Freddy stares longingly at his ass. He piles all of his garbage into a crate, promising to fly to the new Avengers compound, but first, they need to walk to the hardware store. Who the hell walks anywhere in L.A.? And it's only a block from his house? As they meander and talk about stunt work, an alarm goes off in the local Pacific Bank branch. Inside, a man-shaped pile of television static strides confidently through the bank. He's apparently bulletproof and kind of cocky. Wonder Man rushes over and punches him through a few walls, but the guy manages to shrug it off. They struggle until the blank wriggles free and escapes by crashing through a window, turning off his force field thingy and blending in with the surrounding crowd. Wonder Man is ticked off. We move to the blank's apartment and a quick origin story. Just a normal schmo waiting for a bus when some blowhard scientist starts whining about getting laid off from Stark International and walking out with some new invention. The guy has no patience for this late bus, so he strides out into the street and is hit by a car. The blank takes his invention and hurries home. Flashback over, the blank gives his force field harness another charge like Green Lantern with his battery minus the catchy poem. As the blank walks off to commit another crime, a ghostly pink energy wisps out of the battery and begs for more power. Back at the compound, Wonder Man is still angry. He wants to find the blank on his own and punch him into justice. Hawkeye says they're going to act like a team and that the five of them can easily canvass the hundreds of square miles of LA and its surrounding communities in one night. Easy peasy. See, Tiger will sit on a roof in Chinatown. Hawkeye will ride his sled across the skyline of the marina. Iron Man will cover every beach in Southern California. Mockingbird will drive a convertible down the eerily deserted freeways, and Wonder Man can sit on top of City Hall with a pair of binoculars. That should cover everything. Of course, the blank is robbing an armored car in Inglewood. Darn it, forgot that part of town. The heist is not going off as planned, and pretty soon the entire team is alerted to the blank's whereabouts. They try to surround him outside a gas station, but the blank hurls himself at the pumps and blows the whole place up. In the confusion and ensuing rescue, our bad guy escapes. Back at his place with a welcome mat oddly inside the front door, the blank is finished with the life of a villain and vows to get the heck out of town. But first he needs one more battery charge. But what's this? Some dude launches himself out of the battery and pleads for help. He hasn't eaten for months, he's very weak. He's also... Graviton. To be continued. Our roll call is Hawkeye, Mockingbird, Iron Man, Wonder Man, and Tigra, and our villains are the blank and probably Graviton, I think we can assume. This is obviously the blank's first appearance, but we should probably catch up on Graviton's activity since we last saw him in Avengers 159 back in May of 1977. If you'll recall, he had ripped his research facility from the ground and flown it over Manhattan because he was mad at a girl named Judy.
Oh, Graviton. They'll never change.
In the ensuing battle, his powers went haywire, causing him to implode and the whole chunk of planet to collapse in on him. Wonder Man, Thor, Iron Man, and Vision caught the super-dense ball of matter as it hurtled down from the sky, and they tossed it into the ocean. Graviton manages to eventually detangle his atoms and return to Manhattan, but he has amnesia. He sees Jarvis hanging out with this Judy woman, and it all comes rushing back. This leads to a weird battle with Thing and Black Bolt. Graviton tries to throw part of the sun at the inhuman city of Adalon. He creates some mini black holes and appears to destroy himself outside the United Nations building. But then he shows up at a Bloomingdale's and tries to hijack it in search of a bride. Thor shows up at the Bloomingdale's and banishes Graviton to another dimension. And that's where he was returning from in this issue. When did Graviton get all these kinds of powers?
Well, Graviton's always been crazy overpowered. I get why James Rhodes hasn't told these people that he's not Tony Stark yet. Because, you know, it might seem a little awkward to work into conversation.
Yeah, but the longer he goes, the more awkward it's going to be.
It's not like the fact that he's not Tony Stark is known by no one. Because Captain America and the Wasp both know he's not, that Iron Man's not Tony Stark. Because when they went to see old drunkard Stark.
Yeah, Iron Man showed up then.
Iron Man showed up. And Reed Richards knows it's not Tony Stark. Because in Secret Wars, when he was helping to fix his armor, he noticed he was black. So... I'm not sure why he thinks this is such a big deal. And as you say, the longer it goes on, not only is it going to be harder to tell them, but it makes James Rhodes look like more and more of a chump. I mean, once you're working with them full time...
I'm assuming he's just trying to prove his word that he's a good Iron Man.
I think so. He obviously has some issues, some confidence issues. Yeah. And I get that. Apparently everyone on this team does. It's an annoying plot point that just kind of becomes more annoying as the series goes on. So we also, speaking of insecurity, we also are reminded again this issue about Tigra's insecurities. I'm glad they remember them because, you know, she was a big bowl of insecurities back during her first tenure with the team. But if we're going to have to deal with this for the next 100 issues, that's going to get really old.
That is her one defining personality trait.
Yeah. Boy, I kind of suck. Also, I found it interesting that Simon, we can tell it's the 80s because he's wearing short jean shorts, I think. Cut off jean shorts to rip his house apart. The blank's origin is stupid, even for comic books. It is, I feel like we've stepped back into the Silver Age, where it's all built on coincidence. He was coincidentally at a bus stop when a scientist coincidentally came up to him and coincidentally explained what his machine was and how it worked, and then coincidentally got himself hit by a bus, and coincidentally no one saw the blank take the machine and run away. That is a lot of coincidentally.
But it all happened at once, so isn't it just one coincidence? You just layer them on top of each other.
I don't like it.
I don't like the blank. So... We put a brand new Avengers team on the West Coast, and the first person they fight is a bank robber. We haven't done this since, like, issue 9.
The Blank is a Daredevil or a Spider-Man villain. He is a great crime boss. Well, if he had more of a personality, he'd be a great crime boss. As it is, he's a great crime flunky. He should be running errands for the Kingpin in New York City, and then you could use him well.
Oddly enough, I think the only other time we see the Blank in the Marvel Universe, he's fighting Spider-Man.
He's good at that level. But to bring him into this book, to create him for this book, and make him the foe for this stupid team in their second issue makes no sense. Now, we've had two issues where this team has fought people that could be taken out by Daredevil or a good SWAT team.
Or an old man in a car. Well, we find out at the end of the issue that the Blank is pretty much a plot device. Or the Blank's machine was the plot device that got Graviton out. Because obviously Graviton's going to be the villain. Like, why do we need the Blank now?
Well, and if he is a plot device, as you say, just to bring the Graviton back, why did we waste an issue on him? This is like all the time we wasted on Tigra last issue, but worse, because it's an entire issue.
And why did we bother showing his origin?
Yeah, if all you needed was, there are so many quicker ways to bring Graviton into the fight. Let's do a MVP.
Oh, right, we're still talking about this, aren't we? I gave it to Hawkeye, I guess, because he's the leader.
I did the same thing.
There's not really a lot going on here.
Useless character?
Tigra, she's already doubting herself.
I also gave it to her. Do you have a best quote taken out of context?
Yeah, baby, that's it. Soak up that power.
Jeez, I didn't even notice that. Avengers level threat?
No.
Final grade?
B+, I'm dropping. It's not quite as interesting as the last issue, and this Blank guy is annoying.
I gave it a C. I'm going down as well. Oh, no, I was C+ last time. This is a C. And again, it's for every reason we've said. And again, as we start looking at this four-issue series, we've had two issues so far. And in these two issues, this book has done nothing to convince us that we need a West Coast Avengers.
Yeah.
This team is completely pointless at this point in time.
Yeah, no, think about it. Like, they could have set this up better. Like, something could have been happening. I think when we first started talking about possibly needing another team was right after the Dire Race thing, and Vision was all up in arms and holding press conferences, and the Dire Race were going to be this huge threat, and then kind of went away. But if they would have launched the team then, it would have seemed like, okay, we want to have teams on both coasts as, like, protection against the Dire Race coming. And they could have fought against, like, an actual threat rather than, I guess you can go set up a team and, you know, maybe you'll run into a bank robber or something. Like,
I feel like these two issues could have been one issue, probably lose the Shroud, and just bring the team together to fight the Blank, and then bring Graviton at the end. Because that's the only thing that saves this issue, is the last page or two when we see Graviton, we go, okay, now we've got something going.
Like, we could have had,
going to be good.
We could have had the Blank breaking into the compound in the first issue.
Yes, exactly.
And when they fought him, you know, they could have accidentally exploded his harness and Graviton could have popped out of it in the explosion. And then,
oh my gosh, that is already so much better than these two issues.
Then we would have killed off the Blank, we would have got rid of his dumb machine, and Graviton would have been back.
Yeah, I'm so disappointed. As someone who is a huge Roger Stern fan and who has been defending his comics on the East Coast side for a while over Jason, you know,
it's weird, right?
Now we're on the West Coast, and I'm just so disappointed in these issues.
And it's funny because we both really like Roger Stern, but I've been, like, kind of down on some of his stuff, and now I'm, like, happy because this is new and I had hopes for it, and then you're the opposite of it. So, on our next episode, hey, remember Graviton, the casual Dracula? Well, he's back and angrier than ever. In a foolproof plan to stop him, the team throws on some lazy disguises and, it's probably the wrong time to reveal that Iron Man's been replaced, right? That was it. That was my whole write-up. There was a little dot, dot, dot at the end there.
I got that.
All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We hope you've enjoyed this little diversion from our regular title. We will be back with the last two issues next week. If you want to get in touch with us, our email address is mail@avenginghour.com. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter @AvengingHour. You can go to our webpage for whatever reason you want to, our Facebook page. They're both kind of useless.
We're true.
Just everywhere, though. I think we need to get a Snapchat, and we need to get a, what else do the kids do? Do we need eBay? I don't. Ubiquitous. That's what we want to be. Ubiquitous.
I would like to make jokes about, like, fake social media things, but I don't actually know enough social media things that I can't even make decent jokes about it.
The things we are on are really straining what I know about social media. We're old.
Well,
too old for this.
All right.
Woohoo!
Danny Glover.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We will talk to you next time.